God is doing here. So Genesis chapter 50, and we're going to go to verses 15 through 21. We're going to actually take our time today. I'm going to do a little bit more teaching today, and we're going to look at the life of Joseph and how he dealt with some trauma in his own life. So Genesis chapter 50, starting at verse 15, and here's what it says. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said to one another, "If Joseph is holding a grudge against us, he will certainly repay us for all the suffering we caused him." So they sent this message to Joseph. "Before he died, your father gave a command. Say this to Joseph: please forgive your brother's transgression and their sin, the suffering they caused you. Therefore, please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when their message came to him. His brothers also came to him, bowed down before him, and said, "We are your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You planned evil against me. God planned it for good, to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. Therefore, don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your children." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. I want us to go back to verse 15. Here's what the brothers are saying. If Joseph is holding a grudge against us, he will certainly repay us for all the suffering we caused him. I want to preach from this theme and thought today as we continue our series, Triggers and Trauma. And I'm calling today's sermon, When You've Been Wounded. When You've Been Wounded. And I would add to this prompt, to this as well. And I want you to look at the person that you're standing next to. Tell them, "Hey, family, my pain won't be my prison." Find somebody else and tell them, "My pain won't be my prison." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and grace. We thank you for all that you have spoken thus far to us. And God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would continue to give clarity, direction. I pray in the name of Jesus that this sermon would reach down to some of the parts of our lives that we have ignored, that we've maybe turned off, that we've maybe not wanted to deal with. But may today be a day of restoration and healing. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. You can be seated. When you've been wounded. Now, church family, I want to start this sermon by giving us a foundational understanding of a word that we have been using during this series, and also a word that many of us are familiar with, and that word is the word trauma. Everybody say trauma. I gave us this definition a few weeks ago that I want to reiterate and remind us of today so we could all have a foundational understanding. Trauma, as we defined it, is a deeply distressing or disturbing experiences that overwhelm an individual's ability to cope, often resulting in lasting emotional, psychological, and even physical effects. It is deeply distressing or disturbing experiences that overwhelm an individual's ability to cope, often resulting in lasting emotional, psychological, and even physical effects. In short, trauma is something that impacts us on deep levels. Now, the reason why I wanted to remind us of that and kind of give us a generic understanding of that word again is because when I think about that word trauma, there's many things that may kind of come to mind. But one of them that I want to think about today is when it comes to this aspect of dealing with wounds. Now, I'm going to say something that may kind of cause us to question what I'm about to say, but I believe that it's true. There is something that I know about all of us in here today. And some of us are like, "Pastor, it's impossible because there's no way you know all of us individually." You're right, I don't know everybody individually. But I know something about every single person in here individually. And do you know what that is? Every person has experienced a cut of some sort in your life. All of us, more than likely, have experienced a physical cut of some kind. If you've ever experienced a cut of some kind physically, a paper cut, a gash of some sort, just show me your hands really quick if you could be honest. And for those of us who are not raising your hand, you are not being honest today. Because every single person, I bet money on it, in your years of living, have experienced some type of a skin surface cut of some kind. A paper cut, a gash, cut by some thorns or thistles on a tree branch or on a plant of some kind. All of us have experienced some type of a cut on the surface, if you will. And here's what I've recognized. For the most part, most of us, if not all of us, know how to treat common and surface wounds. We clean it, and then we cover it. We get some peroxide, some Neosporin. Shout out to the Neosporin people. Some oil, some ointments, some natural remedy, something. You have to clean it, soap and water, but then you cover it of some kind with a Band-Aid or some type of covering to keep it from getting infected. But what I've also recognized is that while many of us know how to treat a skin wound, what I've discovered is that many don't know how to treat a soul wound. Many of us know how to treat a skin laceration, but what many of us do not know how to treat is a soul wound. Because a soul wound represents something that's beneath the surface. And just as if you experience a cut that is beneath the surface of your skin physically, and you need extra medical attention, or you need somebody who has greater expertise to give some insight and again give some greater perspective to what it is that you're dealing with. When it comes to the interior of our lives, the soul of our lives, our heart and our emotions, all of us have been cut in some way, but many of us don't know how to treat that wound. Which brings us now to Genesis chapter 50. Because though we often know how to treat a skin wound, we don't know how to treat a soul wound. And in Genesis chapter 50, what we see here is a picture of how to deal with the wounds of the soul, specifically wounds that come at the hands of other people. And in Genesis chapter 50, we see this man by the name of Joseph. Everybody say Joseph. Joseph, if you don't know anything about him, if you do a cursory biblical study and perspective on who Joseph is in a character study, he is the son of a man by the name of Jacob, also known as Israel. If you do some study, you'll recognize that Joseph was the son of Israel, and when it came to Israel, Israel had multiple sons. He had multiple children. Joseph was one of the 12 brothers that Jacob had gave birth to with he and not just one wife, but multiple wives. That's a whole nother sermon for another time. Because just because God allows it does not mean that he gave permission to it. That's a whole nother sermon for another time. But we see here Joseph is part of this family. And when we look at the scriptures, specifically in Genesis chapter 37, in the early parts of Genesis 37, when Joseph is first introduced to us, what we begin to realize is that Jacob had an affinity for Joseph that he did not have for any of his other sons. And in Genesis chapter 37, verse 4, here's what it says. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him, talking about Joseph, and could not bring themselves to speak peaceably to him. In other words, here's what's happening. Joseph has been shown favoritism by Jacob, his father. Jacob is showing favoritism to Joseph at the expense of not being kind to his other sons. And anytime we show favoritism, it never ends well. Matter of fact, the Bible speaks so much about this. It calls it a sin. The book of James talks about how favoritism is a sin. Why? Because it begins to elevate one person over another person. And we see this in the scripture, and oftentimes when there's favoritism in the family, it causes disruption in the family. And here's what's happening. The brothers see that they're not being treated as good as Joseph is by Jacob, their father, and they begin to resent Joseph. Now, to add insult to injury, if you will, Joseph had this unique gift where he was able to not just have dreams, but to interpret dreams. And one of the dreams that he had was he saw his brothers bowing down to him. So Joseph, this 17-year-old boy, goes and tells some of his grown adult brothers that, hey, I had a dream that y'all were bowing down to me. So not only is Jacob treating Joseph in a greater way than the brothers, and they're dealing with that, but now Joseph is coming to them, telling them, hey, I got this dream. I don't even, like, it's God, and y'all are bowing down to me. And as a result of this, they resented Joseph. But the genesis of their resentment wasn't even with Joseph. It was with Jacob. And because of the resentment that they had in their own hearts towards Jacob, it caused them to inflict pain on Joseph. Can I pause parenthetically and help us understand this? Hurt people hurt people. Oftentimes, people who are giving and distributing some of the most hurt towards the lives of other people is because they themselves have been hurt. I'm gonna talk more about that next week. And one of the things that we see here in this scripture is that because of the brothers' hate for Joseph, which was really rooted in their hatreds toward their father, they caused all types of pain and trauma in the life of Joseph. So here's what Genesis chapter 37, verse 18 says. They saw him in the distance, talking about Joseph. Before he had reached them, they plotted to kill Joseph. And they said to one another, oh, look, here comes that dream expert. Here come that boy that think he know everything. So now, come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits. And we can say that a vicious animal ate him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. I want you to see what's happening here, family. Joseph was wounded by his brothers. Joseph was mishandled by his brothers. Joseph was mistreated by his brothers. Joseph was left for dead by his brothers. The Bible says later on that they decided that they weren't going to kill him, but instead they threw him in a pit, and instead of killing him, they decided to sell him into slavery, which would lead to him being in Egypt. So not only has Joseph been betrayed by his brothers, he's also been left for dead by his brothers. He's also been sold into slavery. This is a picture of human trafficking, by the way. He's being sold into slavery, but then he gets into Egypt, and not only is he in Egypt and is he in bondage, but now he's being lied on by people when he's in Egypt. He got promoted on his job. He's working for this guy by the name of Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife lied on him and cried wolf and said that Joseph tried to sexually harass her, but in all actuality, Joseph ran from her because she was trying to make moves on him and have an affair with him and all that, and Joseph ran away, but then she lied on him, and that led to him being in prison. Joseph has dealt with all types of trauma. And do you know the genesis of it? It was his brothers. He was wounded by people that were close to him. He was wounded by people. He was cut, if you will, by people that he should have been able to rely on. Joseph experienced all kinds of mistreatment at the hands of people close to him. And I want us to understand what's happening here, because I believe, if we're honest, that many of us can identify with Joseph, because many of us have been done wrong and many of us have been cut and been wounded by people. This is not going to be one of them sermons where we have a lot of hoorah. This is one of them sermons where we deal with some deep wounds, because every single person in here under the sound of my voice have been cut and wounded by somebody. Somebody lied to you. That's a wound. Somebody betrayed your trust. That's a wound. It wounded you when your parent abandoned you. It wounded you when they betrayed your trust. It wounded you when they slandered your character. It wounded you when they took advantage of your love and of your kindness. It wounded you when they abused you physically, maybe sexually, emotionally, psychologically. It wounded you. It hurt. And I know some of us in here, some of us might be like, Pastor, I've never experienced any type of wound. I've never experienced any type of betrayal. Well, God bless you. But for those of us who can be honest in here, we know what it's like to feel the pain of being wounded by somebody. That some of the trauma that we deal with in our life is not because it was something that we did, it was something that somebody else did to us. that some of the things that we've dealt with have come at the hands of other people. And I'm here to let you know, all throughout the scriptures, there's many people who deal with all types of wounds. Can I let you also know this? Even Jesus, who was perfect, the most perfect person ever in human history, 100% God, 100% man, even Jesus dealt with being wounded by people that were close to him. I'm here to let you know that as long as you and I are walking through this life, family, you and I are going to experience some cuts at the hands of people. But in spite of Joseph's mistreatment through the years and the injustice that he experienced, just like us, the Bible in his journey tells us something very powerful that I want us to see. And it's found in Genesis chapter 39, verse 21. Here's what the Bible says. It says this: the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. I don't know if y'all caught it. In the midst of the prison that Joseph found himself in the midst of the pit that Joseph was later thrown into by his brothers, in the midst of being sold into slavery, in the midst of being lied on by people, in the midst of being betrayed, in the midst of being hurt, in the midst of being bruised by people close to him, in the midst of all these wrong things going on, God was still with him, and he still extended his kindness to him. And over, the scriptures affirm that in spite of all that Joseph walked through, God was still with him. And not only was God with him, God caused Joseph to prosper in the midst of the most painful and traumatic journey that he endured. He went from being lied on and being thrown into prison to, if you read the rest of his story, being second in command behind Pharaoh in Egypt, and having all this power. It is the ultimate story of started from the bottom and now I'm here. It is the ultimate bounce back story. It is the ultimate picture that no matter what happened to me, that I can still flourish in the midst of it. That no matter what I experience at the hands of other people, that I can still move forward. That in the midst of the pain that I've experienced, I still got a purpose. And as a matter of fact, here's what Joseph says in Genesis 41, verse 52. The Bible says he would later get married and he would have a kid. And the second son, here's what it says, he named Ephraim and said, God has made me fruitful. Everybody say fruitful. In the land of my affliction. Here's what Joseph is saying. In the midst of my great pain, God caused me to prosper. In the midst of people doing me dirty, God still did good by me. In the midst of people walking out on me, God was still good to me. In the midst of people talking bad about me, in the midst of people lying on me, God was still there. And I'm here to let you know, and I want you to get this in your heart, God can cause you to prosper in your present in spite of the pain of your past. I'm going to say it again in case you didn't get it. God can cause you to prosper in your present in the midst of the pain of your past. And that's been some of your story here today. Because in spite of the pain, you've still prospered. In spite of what they did, you still flourished. In spite of the abandonment, God still blessed. In spite of the abuse, you still experienced love. In spite of the mistreatment, you still made it through. In spite of what they tried to do against you, God still elevated you. He still promoted you. And thank God that God's kindness to us is not based upon people's kindness to us. Thank God that he's been faithful to us and he's been good to us. And I just want to know, is there anybody online or in person that can tell God thank you for him causing you to prosper in the midst of all the pain and the wounds that you've experienced at the hands of other people? God has been good to you. Why? Because here's what the Bible said about Joseph. God's favor was on him, which also means that God's favor is on you. His favor has been and will be on you in spite of the difficulty that you've dealt with. His favor has guided you. His favor has been on you. His favor has directed you. His favor has blessed you. His favor has been good to you. His mercy, the Bible says, and his grace have followed you all the days of your life. I'm here to let you know that the mercy of God and the favor of God have been following you all the days of your life. I'm here to let you know that no matter what people have tried to do to you, God has still had his hand on you. I'm here to let you know that in spite of all the things that have come against you, God has still been with you. He has still been guiding you. He has still been protecting you. Thank God that we got a God who loves us and still shows us favor in the midst of all the things that have happened to us. God has been faithful. God has blessed. God has been good. God has been merciful. I know what they did to you, it hurt, but I'm here to let you know that God has still been good. I know that what they said to you was bad, but I'm here to let you know that God has still been good. I'm here to let you know that in spite of them turning their backs on you, God never abandoned you. In spite of the abuse that you experienced at the hands of other people, God's hand of protection and his hands of goodness and his hands of provision have still been on your life. I'm here to let you know that God has been with you every step of the way, which is why David says that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear any evil. Why? Because God is with me. Thank God that we got a God who is with us even in the midst of the painful experiences that we have faced. God is with you. And he's blessed you. And he's covered you. He's caused you to prosper. And he's shown you favor. But there's a backside to this. That even though God has caused us to prosper, what I've recognized is that in spite of that, it does not mean that we've properly processed our pain. It is possible, hear me, it is possible for you to prosper but still be in pain. It is possible for you to experience flourishing from God, watch this, and still have fractures in life. Let me say it like this. We can have God's favor on our life while still having fractures in our life. We can have God's favor on our life while still having fractures in our life. And the reason why this is so important for us to understand is because many of us have heard the saying, time heals all wounds. Can I respectfully disagree with that? Time does not heal all wounds. Some of us have said that. And I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news. Time does not heal all wounds. Matter of fact, wounds that are not treated in time become infected. And if it's not dealt with, that infection that started in one place because of a wound can now spread and infect other places, which can now affect your health all over. Time does not heal all wounds. God's grace in time does. What you do in that time determines if you experience some healing. And what we see here in the scripture family is that when it comes to dealing with the wounds that come in our life, specifically when we look at the life of Joseph, Joseph was wounded, y'all. Joseph was cut. Joseph dealt with difficulty at the hands of people that were close to him. But what we see in Joseph's life and lineage is that somehow he was able to get over it. Somehow, he was able to get past it. Somehow, he was able to heal from it. So the question that we need to be asking is this: how do I get over? How do I get past what they did? Now, when I say this, what I'm not saying is we ignore it, because what some of us have said and believe is that I've gotten past it because I'm ignoring it. But I'm here to let you know, if you ignore any type of wound, over time, it becomes problematic. And what some of us have done, we've moved on, but we have not healed. Months have gone by, years have gone by. You built a whole new life. You're in a whole new grade as a young person. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you've healed from it. And what we want to look at in the life of Joseph is, how do I heal from the wounds caused by others? What do I do when I've been wounded? How do I move from a place of being wounded to being healed? And I believe that Joseph's experience specifically in this text helps us to see, as he's interacting with his brothers who caused him pain and trauma, it helps us to see how you and I can move forward in spite of the wounds that we've experienced. Here's number one. Y'all ready for this? Because 9 o'clock service said they was ready, and they won't. In order for you and I to be able to experience some healing when we've been wounded, here's what God invites us to do. He invites us, number one, to face what was done. Tell the person beside you, you got to face it. Come on, I can tell the way they responded, they ain't like that. Right? You got to face what was done. meaning this, I can't ignore it any longer. I can't sweep it under the rug. I got to face it. And we see this in the life of Joseph, because notice what the Bible says in verse 15. It says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said to one another, if Joseph is holding a grudge against us, he will certainly repay us for all the suffering we caused him. What was all the suffering? Lying or leaving him for dead, selling him into slavery, making up lies that he was consumed by a wild animal, when in all actuality, they were the ones that contributed to the pain that he experienced, and also even contributed to the pain that other family members would experience as well because of this event. They caused so much suffering. He says, if he's still holding a grudge against us, he's going to repay us. They said, certainly. They were certain that Joseph was going to do this. And here's what's crazy, y'all. Joseph has the power to actually do what they think he's going to do, because he's second in command in all of Egypt. So he has the authority to give an execution order to end their lives. And that's exactly probably what they're thinking is going to happen. So here's what they say. He will certainly repay us for all the suffering we caused him. So they sent this message to Joseph. Before he died, your father gave a command. Say this to Joseph. Please forgive your brother's transgression and their sin, the suffering they caused you. Therefore, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when their message came to him. Watch verse 18. His brothers also came to him, bowed down before him and said, we are your slaves. But Joseph said to them, I want to pause right there, and I want us to see what's happening. Joseph is having a face-to-face encounter with his brothers. And this isn't the first time that he's had an encounter with them, because the Bible says this in Genesis chapter 42, verses 5 through 7. It says this, the sons of Israel were among those who came to buy grain. That's his brothers. For the famine was in the land of Canaan. Joseph was in charge of the country. He sold grain to all its people. His brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the ground. When Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them. Now, they did not know it was Joseph when they first saw him for the first time. After many years of the betrayal and after many years of selling him into slavery, they didn't recognize him, but he recognized them. And the Bible says he treated them like strangers and spoke, watch this, harshly to him. He sees them for, this is the first time he's seen them in this scripture, not Genesis 50, our main text, but here in Genesis chapter 42, this is the first time that Joseph has seen them in what many argue has been about 2 decades. So for 2 decades, I've been carrying around this pain that you caused me. And this is the first time that I'm seeing you face to face since that time when I imagine him crying out in the pit, brothers, can y'all save me? Brothers, can y'all help me? And they did not a thing to lift a finger except to sell him into bondage. And for 20 plus years, he's been carrying this around. And the last time he saw them, he was in a pit being sold. And now he sees them in a place of power because this is where he is, and he's triggered by it. The Bible says he speaks harshly to them. Now, some of us in here who are really super spiritual, like, that's a terrible way for Joseph to treat his brothers. The Bible says you should love your enemies. But soon as the person who messed you up and messed you over comes in your presence, you're about ready to cuss them out. Come on. All of a sudden, your blood pressure starts rising. You start clenching your fist and clenching your teeth. You conveniently remove yourself from the room. Come on here. Because a lot of times what happens is we like to spiritualize moments like this. But if we're really honest, when we are human and we deal with all types of emotions and we deal with all types of cuts, and when we feel this cut, if we haven't healed from it, we get triggered. And Joseph is triggered. Why? Because when we face things, family, it's going to bring up things from beneath the surface, watch this, that we may have thought we dealt with or maybe never dealt with at all. And some of us can identify with this because we haven't processed our pain. And the reason why we haven't processed it is because we never had to face it. But there's going to come a moment in your life where no matter how much you've tried to run from what they did, and the effect that it had on you, you'll never be able to outrun it. You got to face it. Now we see this moment in Joseph where he spoke harshly to them. But by the end of the story, remember here in Genesis chapter 50, what did Joseph say in verse 20? He says, you plan evil against me, but God meant it for good. So he didn't stay in that place of brokenness. But the way he was able to move from a place of brokenness was because he had to face it. And he called it what it was. He said, y'all meant and planned evil against me. I want you to lean into me and listen to me now. Facing what was done means I had to acknowledge what was done. It's time for us to acknowledge the fact, yes, they lied on you. Acknowledge that. Call that what it is. You were a child. Them as a parent should have never walked out on you. Call that what it is. Don't try to justify it. It was painful and it hurt. I gotta acknowledge that. They did betray the trust. I gotta acknowledge that. I gotta face that. I gotta deal with that. We can't act as if nothing has happened. And I believe that part of the reason why there's generational trauma, even in families, is because we don't want to talk about the things that have happened. Can I let you know this though? What is not transformed eventually gets transferred. And if I don't deal with it, it's going to impact people behind me who will eventually feel the effects of it. And so there's some things that have happened that we've been running from, but God is saying, hey, I want you to face it. Matter of fact, here's what Jesus says in Matthew 18, 15. He says, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If your brother sins against you, go to him. Family, let's be honest. That's hard. Because if we're honest, when we're hurt by somebody, sometimes the last thing that we want to do is go back to that person. We do everything to avoid that person. But can I help you understand this? I want you to write this down. It's not even in my notes. It's from God right now. Write it down. Avoidance does not lead to deliverance. And some of us have been saying, I'm delivered. God's saying, no, you've avoided it. And the more you avoid it, the more you will stay in it. Why? Because what's not faced can't be fixed. If you don't face it, it can't be fixed. If I don't face the reality of what they did to me, what they said about me, I can't be free of it. I can't move past it. I can't truly experience the good things that God wants me to experience, which is a life of being free from it. As long as I act like it didn't happen, I stay in bondage. But not only do I have to face what was done, here's the second thing, I want you to write this down, I have to feel what was done. I gotta feel it. I think part of the reason why a lot of us don't like to face what happened is because we don't want to relive the feeling of what happened. But Joseph felt everything that happened. He mourned it. Here's what the Bible says in verse 17. Let's go back to Genesis 50 when his brother sent him this whole message. And by the way, they said, hey, Pop sent us this message to tell you to forgive us for what we did to you. The Bible doesn't tell us that Jacob actually said that, by the way. So very well, they could be making this up because they're afraid of their lives, for their lives. They're probably lying. We don't know because we have no biblical record of the fact that Jacob told them, hey, before I die or when I die, go tell Joseph, don't hold it against y'all no more. We don't know. But what we do know is this. When that message got to Joseph, do you know what the Bible says he did in verse 17? He wept. And if you see this word, he wept, you'll notice that it connects so much with everything else that happened in his journey when he was betrayed and when he was left for dead and when he was sold into slavery and when he was lied on. The Bible says multiple times that he wept. If you go back to Genesis chapter 43, verse 30, the Bible says this, Joseph hurried out. This is when he first saw his younger brother, Benjamin. Joseph hurried out because he was overcome with emotion for his brother. And he was about to weep, and he went into an inner room and he wept there. Have you ever been in so much pain where you had to go into another place and mourn and weep? Joseph is feeling what happened. Then it happened again in Genesis chapter 46, verses 29 to 30. It says, Joseph hitched the horses to his chariot and he went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. Joseph presented himself to him. He threw his arms around him, and watch this, he wept for a long time. Not only did he weep for a long time, then the Bible says, then Israel said to Joseph, I'm ready to die now because I have seen your face and you are still alive. It's a weeping session for everybody. What's Joseph weeping about? Y'all, for 20 plus years, more than likely, he hadn't seen his family. I haven't seen my dad. I haven't seen my brothers. I haven't seen others. I was abandoned. I felt like I was alone. He's weeping time that's been lost. He's weeping over the pain that he's experienced. He's weeping through the difficulties that he's had to walk through, and he walked through them oftentimes not with an actual person by his side. He's weeping. Genesis chapter 45, y'all, it gets real intense, because when he first saw his brothers, there was a response, or when he first reveals his identity to his brothers, there's a response here that I want us to see that's so powerful. It says, Joseph could no longer keep his composure in front of all his attendants. So he called out, send everyone away from me. No one was with him when he revealed his identity to his brothers. I'm kind of going all over the place because I want you to see the whole story in a nutshell. It says this, but he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and also Pharaoh's household heard it. Can you imagine the scene that's going on here? Joseph's been good up to this point. And all of a sudden, he can't hold it in no more. He is wailing. Can you imagine the co-workers and his boss, Pharaoh? Yo, what is going on with Joe? Brother was good until they came. Something done happened. Y'all know how, there's more to that story. Somebody comes into the room, the whole atmosphere shifts. And you're like, I don't know what's going on between them, but something done happened. Somebody done said something or did something. You see the way they avoid each other? They don't even make eye contact with each other. You see the way their tone changed? They was all happy-go-lucky, but the minute that person stepped in the room, if looks could kill, Joseph is weeping. He's feeling this. He's not only faced it, y'all, but he's feeling what happened. And the Bible says this, Joseph said to his brothers, this is when he first reveals his identity. Remember earlier, I read a scripture where he knew who they were, but they didn't yet know who he was. And this is the moment where he finally reveals himself to them. And the Bible says, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? Watch what the Bible says. But they could not answer him because they were terrified in his presence. Wouldn't you be scared too? I thought he was dead. And bro's still alive after all these years? Oh, he gonna kill us. It's a wrap for us. It's like seeing a ghost. But can you probably also understand that they themselves are probably grieving too? You know, we did a crazy thing to our younger brother. There's all types of emotions that's swirling around. Here's what the Bible says. Then Joseph said to his brothers, watch this, please come near me. And they came near. I am Joseph, your brother, he said, the one you sold into Egypt. Watch verse 5. Here's what he says. And now don't be grieved or angry with yourselves for selling me here. Y'all, do y'all see the maturity and the healing of Joseph? He says, don't be angry. If anybody got a right to be angry, it's you. He says, don't be angry, don't be grieved for yourselves for selling me here. Watch this. Because God sent me ahead of you to preserve your life. Then verse 6 says this. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there will be 5 more years without plowing or harvesting. Watch this. God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep, watch this, you alive by a great deliverance. Verse 8 says this, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Can I help you understand something? The most painful moments that have happened in your moments, they have happened at the hands of people. But what Joseph helps us to see is that even though people have wounded us, but God has still been there. God was still at work. God was still working all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Joseph had a but God perspective. I know y'all wanted to hurt me with this, but God had other plans through it. And God is so good that the plans that he had for me benefited you. Can we thank God for him being the master architect, that even when people do harmful things and ugly things and dark things against us, hurtful things, God is so good that he is able to take even the most wicked of things that people might do and still somehow use it for his glory and still somehow use it for the good of people. Only God can do that. And multiple times the Bible helps us to see that he's weeping. He feels everything. But what he's doing when he's weeping over it, y'all, he's releasing what happened. When you are mourning what happened and what they did, a release takes place. And can I help you understand this? I need you to get this in your heart. We can either release our pain or retain our pain. You're doing one of the two things. Some of us are living like this. We're keeping everything close to us. We're guarding everything. And I'm going to let you understand this. As if you live like this, you never can receive what God wants to give you in the form of healing. Some of us have been retaining the pain that they did to us. You've been retaining the injustice. You've been retaining the problem. You've been retaining the betrayal. And God is inviting you to release it. And the way that we release it is by feeling it and mourning it and lamenting it. We need to feel what was done to us at the hands of others. Some of us have been trying to avoid that. I'm here to let you know, stop avoiding those feelings. Mourn it. Lament it. And some of the reason why we don't want to face what was done is because we don't want to feel it. But I have to allow myself to grieve and to mourn and to process what has happened and not avoid the emotional impact of what has happened. And some of our issue may not be necessarily in acknowledging what's happened. Some of us don't have no problem acknowledging what happened. Matter of fact, you talk about it all the time. You tell everybody about it. But what you have a problem with is acknowledging the emotional impact that it had on you. How it really hurt you. So you talk about what happened, but you don't talk about how it impacted you. How it caused you to be insecure. How it caused you to not be able to trust people. How it caused you to, watch this, even question God. We sometimes ignore the impact that the wounds have, but can I help you understand something, family? Lamenting and mourning is not a sinful thing. It is actually a godly and spiritual act. Can I help you understand something? When Lazarus died in the New Testament, do you know what Jesus did? The Bible says Jesus wept. Weeping is not a sign of weakness. No, weeping is an opportunity for me to experience some deliverance from what I've walked through. It is a spiritual act to lament. There's a whole book of the Bible called Lamentations. The root word there is to lament. Here's what Ecclesiastes 3 and 4 says. It says, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn and there's a time to dance. And many of us don't know what time it is. We got pain in our life, but don't know what we're supposed to do with it. Can I help you understand? You're supposed to mourn it. You're supposed to lament it. And part of the reason why some of us are sick emotionally is because we haven't given ourselves the space to grieve and to mourn the wounds that we've experienced at the hands of other people. So you just laugh it off, or you just brush it off, but you haven't mourned it off yet. I want you to understand that until you and I lament and grieve and mourn and process what's happened, just like Joseph did, we stay stuck where we are. But God gives us an invitation. He says, listen, if you will mourn what happened to you, I'll comfort you in the midst of what happened. That's the promise of God. That he gives beauty for ashes, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy does come in the morning. Matter of fact, here's what Matthew 5 and 4 says. Blessed are those who mourn. That's what Jesus says. It's called the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount. And when you first look at this, it's like, how is it a blessing to mourn? Because mourning means something bad happens. Mourning means that something tragic happens. The blessing is not in the fact that I'm mourning. The blessing is in the fact of what comes after I mourn. And what comes after I mourn is what Jesus says. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. When you and I mourn what happened, it opens us up to be able to experience the healing power and the peace that only God can give, that enables me to be able to move forward in spite of what happened. Can I say this? Some of us are missing our healing because we are avoiding our mourning. And when we avoid our mourning, write this down, we miss God's healing. Some of us have been praying, God, would you heal me from what they did? God says, I will as soon as you cry about it. God, set me free from constantly having to replay this in my mind. I will and I want to, but you won't let it go by mourning it. How can we trust God to dry our tears if we don't trust Him to let them flow in His hands? Come on. I gotta feel it. When we feel the pain of our wounds, God promises to. You know why? Thank you, Lord. The reason why we struggle with this is because it brings us to a place of vulnerability. And the reason why we struggle with being vulnerable is because we believe that if we're vulnerable, we'll get wounded again. But when we're vulnerable before God, God promises to cover us and to heal us. He says, you can be vulnerable with me. You can trust me. He's the God who gives peace that surpasses all understanding. But I got to be willing to give Him my pain first. And some of us, catch this, are just like Joseph. You're carrying around childhood wounds that you've never mourned. You moved on, but you never mourned it. Some of us are dealing with things that you have dealt with as a teenager, and you are a 45-year-old man, but still with the wound of that teenager on the inside of you. You've grown physically, but have stunted your growth emotionally because you haven't given yourself the space to process the pain. So yes, you've moved on financially, and yes, you've moved on physically, but you have not moved on mentally, and you have not moved on spiritually, and you have not moved on emotionally, and you have not moved on psychologically, because you have not allowed yourself to feel the fracture. You were injured. There's nothing wrong with mourning that. You know, a lot of times what we tell kids, when they get hurt and they start crying, you know, some of the things that sometimes we parents do and some adults do, stop all that crying. Stop crying about that. And because some of us have been told that as a child, you've carried that over into adulthood. Your crying does not bring or does not, your crying does not mean that you're less than a person. Your crying and your mourning actually shows that you're more of a person. You're human. And if Jesus wept, why do you think you can't? Come on. Because we want to be healed, right? This is the year of release. And I believe that God wants to bring some release to us. But He says, but there's some things I want to release you from. And there's some things that we are missing out on experiencing in our life because we won't mourn some of the wounds in our life. Here's the third thing I want to give us. That it's not just about facing what was done and feeling what was done. Here's the third thing, and this is where it gets tight. Stay with me. Don't walk out of church right now. Because I'm about to say a word that's going to offend some of us. I got to forgive what was done. Even the baby said something. I got to forgive what was done. Because many of us don't have an issue with facing it. We talk about it. We've cried about it. But you haven't let it go. You haven't forgiven. But what we see with Joseph is that if we want to walk in the freedom that God has for us, like Joseph was, I got to forgive. Here's what Joseph says in Genesis chapter 50. Let's go back to our main text. He says this in verses 19 to 20. His brothers come to him and say, we are your slaves. Remember, they're already coming. He's holding a grudge against us. We know he got some against us. Here's what the Bible says. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Who am I to hold this against you? That's what he's saying. You plan evil against me. God planned it for good, to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. Watch this. Therefore, don't be afraid. What were they afraid of? They were afraid that Joseph was going to get them back for what they did to him. He says this, I will take care of you and your children. If that's not a picture of forgiveness, I don't know what is. I got the opportunity to get you back and to get you back real good. Watch this. Joseph could have been so callous to heart that he could have killed them and their children. And watch this, check this out. And nobody would have flinched because he was second in charge of Egypt. He says, I'm gonna take care of you, my brothers, and my nieces and nephews. That is a picture of forgiveness. It doesn't change what happened. Remember what he said, you meant evil for me. He's acknowledging the fact, y'all did me dirty, bro. And it hurt. Some of us, like, when something hurts you, you like me, that just hurt like a mug. It hurt like a mug, man, when y'all left me down in that pit, man. That thing hurt like crazy. But what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And because I see the kindness of God at work, even in the midst of that, I'm not going to hold this against you. That's what forgiveness means. Forgiveness means not holding someone's wrongdoing against them any longer. Joseph is not holding the pain that they caused. Joseph is not holding the betrayal that they brought about. Joseph is not holding any of this stuff against them any longer. And I believe part of that, or a major reason for that, is because he recognized that God has been kind to me. And it's almost like Joseph is saying, if God has been kind to me, who am I to not be kind to you? If God has been faithful to me and has forgiven me for some things that I've done, who am I to not forgive you for the wrong that you caused in my life? Here is the lesson that I want us to see, that in spite of what they did to you, you got to forgive them. In spite of what they said, I'm not minimizing what they said. It was wrong. It was bad. It was ugly. It was demonic. I'm not minimizing that. What I'm saying is, it's time for you to release that. Forgive them for that. It means don't hold it against them any longer. Here's what Ephesians 4:32 says. And be kind and compassionate to one another. Watch this. Forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Do you see the motivation for our forgiveness? The reason why we forgive others is not because they deserve it. The reason we forgive others is because we received God's forgiveness and we didn't deserve his. The reason why I forgive you for what you said to me is because God forgave me of some reckless stuff I did to him. The reason why I forgive you for how you double-crossed me or betrayed me or slandered my name, the reason why I forgive you is because God in Christ forgave me of all of my sin. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Thank God that God did not hold my sins against me, because if he held my sins against me, I would be on my way straight to hell, a place far from him. But thank God that he extended his kindness and he extended his grace to me. He says, I want you to do the same for others who have wronged you. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 18. Peter asked this question. He says, Lord, how many times must I forgive a brother or sister who sins against me? That's what some of us ask. Now, Pastor, how many times I got to forgive them? Because they done did me wrong multiple times. Now, it just comes a point. Enough is enough. That's what some of us are at right now. I'm not going to ask us to raise our hands for who's there, but I feel like some of us are there right now. I've had enough, Pastor. I'm not forgiving them anymore. Peter would identify with that. How many times must I forgive my brother or sister? I imagine Peter saying this with a little bit of attitude. Because right before this, Jesus was talking about go face your brother who wronged you. And Peter's like, yo, fam, how many times I got to forgive Johnny for what Johnny said to me? How many times, Jesus? Is seven good enough? Because once we get past seven, I'm trying to cut somebody, Jesus, you know? That's Peter we talking about. Peter always had a blade on him. I give him seven. Seven is the number of completion. But on this eighth one, it's a new beginning for him. He says, as many as seven times? Here's what Jesus says. I tell you, not as many as seven, but 70 times seven. You do the math, that's 490 times. And let's be honest, who's keeping count that many times? What's the principle Jesus is trying to articulate? Forgive them as much as it's necessary. Because forgiveness, y'all, is not a feeling that we have. It's a decision that we make. And many of us in here, you've been carrying unforgiveness in your heart. I'm here to let you know unforgiveness is too heavy of a burden for you to carry. It's time for you to release that bitterness. It's time for you to release that resentment. It's time for you to release that frustration. It's time for you to let it go. Here's what Alan Patton says. I'm going to close with this. He says, when a deep injury is done to us, we never recover until we forgive. When a deep injury is done to us, we never recover until we forgive. Forgiveness means that I express that with my words. I forgive you for what you did. I'm not holding that against you any longer. Forgiveness also means I demonstrate it through my actions. It means I'm not petty with them. I'm not passive aggressive. Come on. Y'all know how we like to do. It means I'm letting this go. I'm not holding this against you any longer. What you said was wrong, but I'm not going to hold this against you any longer. And what we see through the life of Joseph is that because he faced what they did, and because he felt what they did, and because he forgave what they did, we don't know when specifically it happened. Honestly, I think all throughout the journey, he was doing it all over. It's like this process. You don't just do it one time. You have to do it constantly. And because he was in this rhythm of facing what they did and feeling what they did and forgiving what they did, do you know what that enabled him to be able to do? It allowed him to live in a place of freedom from what they did. That because of all the things that they have done and Joseph letting it go, it allowed him to be able to be in a place of freedom, which I believe impacted him being able to be in second in command behind Egypt. It's almost as if God knew that he can trust a moment like this to Joseph because he knew how Joseph would respond, that he wouldn't respond with resentment, but that he would respond with forgiveness because of God's grace on his life and because of God's goodness on his life. And because of that, not only was Joseph blessed, but his family was blessed. And not only was his family blessed, but all the nation was blessed because of his freedom. And I said all that to say this: you don't have to be a prisoner to your pain any longer. That yes, when they wound you, it does hurt, but you don't got to stay there. Because if God can free Joseph from his pain, I want you to know this: he can free you from yours. If Joseph can move from fracture to flourishing because of God's goodness and grace, that means that you and I can as well. I know what they did to you, it hurt. I know what they said, it hurt. I know the betrayal hurt. I know the gossiping hurt. I know the abuse hurt. I know the parent walking out on you or not being there like they should have. I know it hurt. I know the lying hurt, but I'm here to let you know also what's true, that what the enemy planned for evil, God will use it for good. That what the enemy tried to use to take out your life, I'm here to let you know that God's hand is still on your life, that he has not abandoned you not one bit, that he is not leaving you not one bit. No, that he is able to use all of this somehow. I don't know how he's going to get glory out of it, but what he promises me is that he will turn it for the good. I don't know when he's going to turn it, just like Joseph didn't know when he was going to turn it, but I know this: if we trust in God and if we hold on to hope in God, that he will work it out for the good of those who love him, called according to his purpose. I want everybody to stand to our feet in this moment, because the thing that I want us to see here in Joseph's life is that our hope is not found in Joseph ultimately. Our hope is found in Jesus. And when Jesus steps into the picture, he's also somebody who can identify with wounds. You've been betrayed, Jesus was betrayed. You've been hurt, Jesus was hurt. You were abandoned, Jesus was abandoned. You were lied on and lied about, Jesus was as well. You were abused, Jesus was. You were traumatized, so was he. At the hands of people. And some of the people who said they will always be there for him. But do you know what Jesus says when he's on the cross? When people are telling him to get down? When he had the authority and the power to wipe everybody out because of their sin. Do you know what he said on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Who was he talking about? He was talking about all of humanity. He was talking about all of us. He was talking about every single person who ever be born for the things that we've done that have grieved the heart of God, that have come against the heart of God. But thank God that when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Thank God that when he was wounded, it was actually an opportunity for us to experience freedom. It was an opportunity for us to experience forgiveness. It was an opportunity for us to have a greater future. Thank God that when Jesus could have ended our lives in judgment, he offered relationship and righteousness through his forgiveness and through his grace and through his love. The Bible says that he died on the cross, he was buried, that he rose back to life on the third day. He was wounded, but yet he was healed. And now the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that on the cross he bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. Watch this. By his wounds, you, meaning you, have been healed. So I'm not denying the fact that the wounds from other people hurt you. They did. We're going to acknowledge that. But can I tell you some other wounds that also happen? The wounds from others may have hurt you, but the wounds of Jesus can heal you. By his wounds, you can be healed. You and I find healing when we bring our wounds to the one who is wounded. Theologians call him the wounded healer. The one who experienced wounds on the cross so that we can be healed of ours. I want to ask this with heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment. If you're here today, and you can be honest, and you can say, Pastor, I've been wounded by some people. I've been hurt by some people. Hurt by a spouse, hurt by a child, hurt by a sibling, hurt by a coworker, hurt by a neighbor, roommate. I've been hurt. Can I let you know this? Yes, you've been hurt, but today you can be healed. You don't have to be a prisoner to your pain any longer. You can be set free of that. If you're here today, online or in person, and you can be honest and say, Pastor, I'm here and I'm hurting right now. I'm wounded. I haven't healed from it. My head's about to eyes are closed. Can you just lift up your hand wherever you are? If you're hurting right now, if you could be honest, what they said, it hurt you and you haven't got over it yet. Come on, just lift up your hand. I just want to see you. Just want to pray this moment. Come on, if you're here, amen. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Come on, if you're online, this is for you as well. Father, for every hand stretched out, God, I pray for healing. I pray for deliverance. I pray for breakthrough. I pray, God, that where there has been wounds, you would apply your healing. Lord, would you give us the strength to face what happened, to feel what happened, to forgive what happened, so that we can experience freedom from what happened. We thank you that in Christ Jesus, we can experience all of that. And I pray for my brothers and sisters who are hurting right now, that you would touch their souls. That you would bring forth healing to them in Jesus' name. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm here to let you know, family, as well. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I'm going to let you know this. You won't be able to forgive others until you first experience his forgiveness. You won't be able to forgive others for what they have done until you have first received the forgiveness for what you have done, your sins against Jesus. Today you can experience that. Today you can receive that. Today you can have a new beginning. If you're here today and you want a new relationship with Jesus Christ, or you want to come back to him, today you're saying, I want to start over in Christ. I want to come to him. If you're here, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I give you my life. I give you my pain. I receive your life. I receive your love. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen.